Hello, everyone, and welcome to another team preview here of the World Tour teams of the 2023 season. Today, we are going to talk about one of the juggernauts of the sport, INEOS Grenadiers, third in the UCI rankings for the 2022 season. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Crowe himself, Ewan Wilson, and Ewan, INEOS Grenadiers. They're not quite the Sky era, but they certainly had a good 2022, 39 victories up from 2021. What do you make of their results?
Well, this team is quote unquote the most rich team in cycling. They had the biggest budget in this sport. And this year, well, they took a bit of a different focus. They didn't win a Grand Tour in 2022. It's the first time in a while they didn't stand on the top step of a podium at a Grand Tour. Thus, it made it quite an interesting year for the squad, which maybe focused a little bit more on the classics, as well as being a little bit more of a wild card in the stage races, which has been fascinating to watch as the year has unfolded.
Yeah, so we're gonna, as before, talk about the Grand Tours, the classics, but first we're gonna talk about some of their transfers coming in and out. And yeah, the big news that we spoke about already in our EF Education Easy Post video, check that out, is that Richard Carapaz is leaving, obviously, but a number of other strong riders leaving. We'll talk about that in a bit, but let's first talk about who's coming in. And Ewan, yeah, who is coming in?
Well, the big name here coming in is probably, I would say, Tamen Arensman from DSM. Strong Vuelta a España finish for him, with a stage win at Sierra Nevada, that huge summit finish that we saw there, over 2,000 meters. He was linked very early on this season to move to INEOS, and I think this is a good transfer. Elsewhere, a couple other young riders, including Michael Leonard, who's just 18 years of age from Canada, Josh Tarling from Wales in the United Kingdom as well, jumping over, as is Connor Swift of Team Alkea Samsic, who we've seen helping Nairo Quintana in the past couple of Tours de France. Otherwise, the other big name, maybe not quite the headline act in the World Tour at the moment, but certainly making waves in the youth scene, is Leo Hayter, brother of Ethan Hayter, the British time trial champion. Leo won the Junior Giro d'Italia, the baby Giro, as it's known colloquially, in 2022. Past alumni of that race include Sasha Vlasov and what's that guy's name? The guy
Tom
who just
Pidcock.
Tom Pidcock, as well as Juan Ayuso. He was the one I was rushing to think of the name of. But it's certainly a strong reputation that Leo Hayter has. So it's a stacked group of riders coming in younger than we would usually assume with INEOS.
Yeah, you're right. It's such a generational change that they have almost, and it's been going on since last year as well with Magnus Sheffield coming in. But Ewan, when we're looking on the other end, you spoke about them bringing in young riders. On the receiving end, there's a lot of experience and talent going out the other way, and Richard Carapaz, probably the headline, but who else are going out the door?
Well, the other Richard that's made a name for himself at INEOS, Richie Port, who's retiring. Elsewhere, this year's Paris-Roubaix winner, Dylan van Baarle's moving over to Jumbo-Visma, the Bumblebees. Adam Yates, in a bit of a shock transfer in the autumn this year, is heading over to UAE Team Emirates to support Tadej Pogacar. Eddie Dunbar is moving over to the newly named Team Jayco Al-Ula, what formerly was called Bike Exchange. And Andre Amador is joining Catapath to EF. So, yeah, plenty of experience going out the door. Yates, Van Baarle, and Carapaz have been sort of real cornerstones over the past couple of years for the squad. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do without these big name riders.
So that was the first part, just looking a bit on the transfer. But now we're just going to talk about the Grand Tours as we've done in the previous ones. Make sure to check them out if you haven't already. But Ewan, the Giro d'Italia, they almost won it, INEOS Grenadiers, once again with Richard Carapaz in the 2022 edition. And yeah, no Carapaz this time. We know there's so many time trial kilometers. How do you think they're going to win? How do you think they're going to improve? We know they won it with Egan Bernal back in 2021. They looked supremely strong that year, but Egan Bernal, not really a time trialer, and this amount of time trialing is not going to be good for him, you would say. Who would you send? Oh, Geraint Thomas.
Well, he confirmed it the other week that
Yeah,
he won the
exactly.
Giro.
It
So
slipped my
Geraint
mind.
Thomas will be joining Evenepoel as well as Roglic, and Joao made it on the start line. So it looks to be a grand tour for the time trialists, which I would say would suit Thomas. He is a strong time trialist, of course, as we've known over the past couple of years, former British champion in that discipline, and he's been out there in the past in Giro time trials. So in 2023, I think he has a strong chance to be up there on the podium. I don't quite think he's going to win it. He might just be past that point. We haven't quite seen that flair in Geraint Thomas that could possibly win a Grand Tour. Bear in mind, he's only won one Grand Tour in the past. I'm a little bit skeptical to push him for this one, especially given that this is 5 years after that Tour de France victory.
I mean, third last year, no? Third last year in the tour.
Yeah, it was strong. David Yurdu finished fourth, and he's not necessarily right, I would say.
Ouch!
It's nailed on. Je suis désolé, David Yurdu, but it's true. He had a good race, but he was stratas behind, hemispheres behind Pogacar and Vingegaard. Nevertheless, looking elsewhere towards the team, I believe Arendsman is coming here as well, the Dutchman. I think he's got a good chance to make it into top 10, rode a strong Giro last year. I also think there's a really good opening here for Ethan Hayter and Luke Platt. Both rode the Vuelta last year. Platt had a strong Vuelta. Ethan Hayter had to pull out from COVID, but he showed signs that he could do well at this Grand Tour setup. He's done well in UCI World Tour stage races over the past 12 months. I'd be very excited to see the British champion in the time trial line up here. Elsewhere, there's been an interview done where Carlos Rodriguez has said that he would like to join either the Vuelta or the Giro squad. He's a strong time trialist, but I don't think he's quite as good as Thomas is. But I think he does have that flair in the mountains that Geraint Thomas misses out on. Could Ineos balance these two big heavyweights? We'll have to wait and see.
Bernal, the last time you won a Grand Tour was the Giro, as we're just talking about now. Had that very unfortunate accident last year, beginning of the season, completely destroyed his year. Back on the bike, we think in maybe a good form here in 2023, but how do you see Egan Bernal faring this season, and where do you kind of think he fits into the Ineos Grenadiers jigsaw of 2023?
Well, allegedly he's going to be doing a full program in 2023 for Ineos, almost a year after he had that horrific incident, as you mentioned, in Latin America. So it's going to be interesting to see. We didn't quite see many sort of hints of fully form Egan Bernal in 2022, but maybe in the new year we could see him fighting back. He was incredibly strong at the 2021 Giro d'Italia after what was a very disappointing 2020 with back injuries, I believe, with a diagnosis of maybe scoliosis as well, blew him sort of off path. But he does have this mental fortitude to come back and keep fighting, and I think he will be back here in 2023. Most likely at the Tour de France in the summer. The route suits him well. Mountains very early on in the race. We saw in 2020, before that back injury plagued his second week of racing, that he was there fighting in that first week. And if he can stay in the mix, I believe that final week in the Alps could really provide something for Bernal. In terms of the build-up as well to the Tour de France, there's many questions to be asked about Egan Bernal and whether he can sustain the form that he's had in the past throughout the sort of spring warm-up races, such as Paris-Nice, Tirreno, Romandy, and the Tour de Suisse. He's won in the past before going on to win the Tour de France back in 2019. So it'd be interesting to see where Egan Bernal is and whether he can pull off another great Grand Tour victory like the Giro in 2021.
Well, if we're saying he is going to the Tour de France, last year we spoke about that. They came third again, not really where Ineos Grenadiers wants to be, but would Egan Bernal be sending him to the Tour? Who goes with him? Is he leader? Are they playing two cards at this 2023 Tour de France, or how do you see that going? Would you put all your eggs in the Egan Bernal basket?
Well, it's almost a risky basket at these points. With 2020, with that big crumble on the Grand Colombier, which we are returning to in 2023, maybe it's an omen, but I would say he's definitely the strongest card. He's won Grand Tours in the past, Tour de France being one of them. With him, I suggest that they would send Daniel Martinez, who was ill through the first week of the Tour de France in 2022, which I think plagued his race, but he could have been there. He showed good form on the build-up. Similarly, Tom Pidcock, who will talk about as well, I believe has a place firmly on their start list, as would Pavel Sivakov, who grew up near the Pyrenees. I think in their first week of racing could really add something in the mountains. Hopefully, if we see a fully formed Laurens de Plus as well, he could add something. When he was last on full form in 2019, he was a fantastic teammate for Stefan Kreiswijk in the mountains at the 2019 Tour de France. If he can do that for Egan Bernal this year, it could certainly give him that extra push against the super teams of Jumbo-Visma and UAE Team Emirates going into the mountains this year with the Massif Central as well as the Alps in the second and third week of racing. So it'll be an interesting Ineos task as they look to sort of reclaim their title as the number one team, because it seems like over the past 2 years that they've very much been third fiddle.
Well, do you actually think they're going to be improving on the 2022 Tour de France when we consider Jonas Vingegaard and Tadej Pogacar? You would think UAE are going to be even stronger compared to this year's Tour de France with less bad luck, hopefully, as well. In what way does Ineos actually win the Tour de France?
Well, it's the $1 million question. I guess maybe try to... probably more than a million. Actually, maybe less. The prize money is almost 500,000 euro nowadays. But it's how do they beat these two? They do just seem streets ahead of everybody else. We haven't seen them fight against the fully formed Egan Bernal, so there's a little bit of a question mark there. Egan Bernal, when he is in full form, he can do exceptional things. Cortina d'Ampezzo, I'm thinking of at the Giro, we didn't see half the stage because broadcasting was cut, but he attacked over the final climb and gained minutes on his opposition to sort of gain supremacy as well in that Giro d'Italia at the Montalcino gravel stage. He was exceptional on the white roads on what was a very hilly, tough day, almost like a classic profile. Vingegaard and Pogacar, if Egan Bernal is on a day like that, he's going to be hard to sort of follow, but I think they could. We saw this year on the Granon stage when Pogacar and Vingegaard, before the final sort of kick up to the Granon, those two went away and they were daring enough to make an early move, very similar to the likes of the moves that Bernal did at the Giro that year and at the Tour de France in 2019 when he was in a desperate sort of exhibition to win back time on Alaphilippe, who was in yellow in that year's edition. It's going to be tough. I don't quite see many aspects of this route where he can gain back time. Maybe once the race goes above 2,000 meters at the Col de la Loz in the final week of racing, that might be the kind of place where he could put in time. But Jonas Vingegaard proved that he's exceptional at altitude this year. Pogacar won 2,000 plus meters summit finishes back in 2021. And to be fair, I just think they're a little bit better than Bernal. I don't quite know if he has that extra element to topple these two and their teams.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The other person you spoke about is the current world cyclocross champion. We don't know if he's still going to be that by the time that the Tour de France rolls around. Won an Alpe d'Huez this year, well, 2022. Very impressive victory. Tom Pidcock, just exceptional rider. Can't really say anything other than him. Such a omnipresent rider in terms of his ability. But he has been, well, at the Roulette Classic, they were asking Roulette Alive, they were asking him whether he was thinking about winning the Tour de France in a few years' time, and he was kind of hedging his response. But Ewan, Tom Pidcock, huge step forward for him in some respects. Former winner of the Baby Giro, as we mentioned. Do you think Pidcock could potentially be in some sort of a GC role here, leaning up against the more experienced Bernal?
No. But, I mean, this year, Pidcock had a really strong Tour de France. The opening week was up there in GC top 10. But I think we forget that he finished in 16th place in GC. That's quite far down. Once the Tour de France got, I mean, it's not very far down. I think it's ambitious to say that he could be punching there for a top five next year, given that he sort of struggled when the Tour de France got very attritional in the final week of racing in 2022. With just Jumbo and UAE being just so gnarly, I don't quite know if Pidcock's going to be there if it does get attritional in the final week of racing yet again. That stage win is a huge leap forward. Maybe he try to get another stage win. I could definitely see him fighting for a polka dot jersey. That's something Ineos don't. They've won it with Froome before in the GC, but they haven't won it as an outright prize, going for the breakaways and so forth. Pidcock could really be a contender to be doing that. But elsewhere in his calendar, he needs to face the dilemma that he has. Pidcock is so good at many things, but that means that his calendar is almost bumper packed from beginning to end. Already, on this provisional sort of program for 2023, we have Strade Bianche, Ronde van Vlaanderen, Amstel Gold, Flèche Wallonne, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and the Tour de France. Between that, there'll be cyclocross programs. We assume mountain bike programs. That's an awful lot. There are few riders in the world who can sort of sustain that program. We saw this year with Van der Poel that at the Tour de France, I mean, it all just came crashing down because you can't sustain that level and do all these different disciplines throughout the whole of a calendar year. It's very, very tough. Pidcock proved this year that he could do that, but he still finished 16th in the Tour de France and crumbled a little bit in that final week. He missed that edge sort of at the Tour of Britain, which had a poor, pretty weak field. He got a couple of podium finishes there, but just didn't have that extra bit to push him over the line. I think he needs to be a little bit more sort of cautious with his program in 2022 in order to really hit those goals. Whether he wants to really hit the classics, we saw he was so close to winning the Amstel Gold race in 2023. If he just gives it that extra little push, he could definitely win that race, and he could be in contention for the likes of a Ronde van Vlaanderen, maybe a Idri Harderbeke. But can you do that as well as winning a Tour de France, or not winning, but as well as being right there in the mix of a Tour de France in the GC? It's difficult.
A caveat there, the Tour of Britain, I think he would have won it if it wasn't for a certain monarch who unfortunately passed away, but that aside, and we look forward to the final Grand Tour. So we kind of spoke about where we think their limits are in the Tour de France, but the Vuelta a España was a bit of a breath of fresh air in some respects. Carlos Rodriguez, you spoke about him, but Ewan, Do you think, well, and Carapaz winning stages, three stages to say the least.
And definitely, I think Sivakov was on for a top 10, but he had COVID. He was looking really, really strong in the first week, had a really good time trial. He was frustrated to go home. Sort of story of Sivakov's career, really. It's just been upset after upset, but he's always been there. He's got such good strength. But for the Vuelta this year, I would suggest Rodriguez is probably going to lead it. But Bernal, I don't think it quite clicks with the Vuelta. We saw him in 2021, just didn't quite have that edge. Was daring, though, on the Lagos de Covadonga stage. We saw that daring flair from Bernal, but I don't quite know if he's going to get that payoff in next year's Vuelta a España. Bear in mind, we're quite likely to see Evenepoel, Roglic, and so forth on the start line. I think I'm a little bit more warm to the idea of Rodriguez fighting for and making that his sole aim for 2023, to see him battle it out with his countryman Ayuso yet again, because Rodriguez had some bad luck. He had a crash in that final week of racing this year, and he definitely could have got a better result if it wasn't for that incident.
So that's kind of a look at the Grand Tours. But Ewan, as you mentioned earlier, they did pretty well in the one-day races in the 2022 season.
They won the Queen of the Classics.
Yeah, exactly. After how many years of trying?
Bradley Wiggins couldn't do it, but Dylan Van Baarle. Yes. There's plenty of other Ian Stannard, Luke Rowe. There's been plenty of people who've tried and tried. However, they cracked it this year, didn't they?
Yeah, but unfortunately sending him away, as we spoke about as well. But we didn't even talk about Kwiatkowski winning in Amstel Gold as well. Second Van Baarle in the Ronde van Vlaanderen after, Pogacar. Magnus Sheffield as well, becoming the youngest winner of the De Brantes Pijl. There's so much good stuff here from them. So is it just copy paste or this season 2022 to 2023?
They're missing Van Baarle, who I think is a key character. Had a fantastic season this year. Maybe it goes a little bit understated, but a second place at the Ronde and a win at Roubaix, it's fantastic. It's like a Bonen or Cancellara kind of a set of palmares there. But looking at some of the breakout stars of this year, Magnus Sheffield, as you mentioned, fantastic ride at the Brabantse Pale, which had a super strong start list. Evenepoel was there, for instance. Also, Ben Turner, I think, really came of age this year. The man they call the clock in the team, he was steady, ticking away, was one of the real breakout stars as a really strong teammate, and I hope he can make that step up and gain some of his own results next year as he gets a little bit older. We also saw the Pipo Ganna story with Roubaix. Pipo Ganna really wants to win Roubaix. He's going to the Giro this year, but I think as well he also wants to get that Roubaix, that little extra kick there again. He looked strong at certain points in the race, but I think he had a lot of bad luck. He was involved in early sort of incidents and punctures and so forth. Maybe if he gets a clean run, he could be good, but I don't know whether this is sort of the dream scenario just to see Pipo Ganna win it, because I think winning the hour record, a rainbow jersey, and Roubaix is quite the triple threat if he could do so. But Scott, what do you think about the Pipo Ganna idea? Because I mean, we all want to see it.
I think I predicted him to win last season, so it didn't happen, but I would love to see it. He definitely has the capabilities, so similar to Fabian Cancellara. You just need good luck, not bad luck. But they have such a strong classics team, despite losing Van Baarle. Yeah, I mean, they won anyway, so it's not like they were unhappy about it. Where do you think Pidcock fits into all this? Do you think he can potentially take Strade Bianche?
I think he's definitely got a good chance at Strade Bianche. Look at the people who've won it. Both Van Aert and Van der Poel. I don't need to elaborate on that one. Pogacar, who throws his hand at domestic cyclocross races in Slovenia.
Stibar as well.
Ah, exactly. Jeanne Stibar. There's plenty of other guys who have performed well. Fuglsang's a mountain biker. He finished in second place in the past. There are plenty of parallels between the two. I think he's definitely got a good chance. It depends on the form of the other big Galacticos in Van der Poel, Van Aert. They're all going to come from the cyclocross season as well, so it's quite a level playing field. Does Pidcock want to sort of shift a little bit of weight? With a focus on these other later stage races and so forth, he might need to shift his program in order to maximize his form for the Tour de France, for the Dauphiné, if he's targeting those. But if he's going purely for the classics and we forget about all these other external factors of Tour de France and so forth, I think he's got a very solid chance of definitely making it onto the podium. But it could be definitely a good, imagine a sort of a three-way battle between these three guys who battle it out every weekend in the muddy fields of Belgium. They're now on the white roads of Tuscany. That's just a fantastic headline. Strade Bianche once again.
Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing. So, Ewan, we can't finish a team preview without having a prediction, and we're going to change it up a bit here. Based on three riders, what do you think their best result is going to be for 2023? The riders being Tom Pidcock, Geraint Thomas, and Egan Bernal.
First, I'll tackle Geraint Thomas. I think he'll finish in maybe fourth. Finish top five at the Giro d'Italia.
At least behind. He's finishing.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a curse in the Giro. 2020, a rogue bottle in Sicily ended his race. 2017, a motorbike that was parked on the side of the road crashed him out of the race. So who knows if he'll make it to the finishing line in Rome. Elsewhere, Bernal, top five at the Tour de France. Oh, that feels risky to say, though, because he's come back from such a dramatic crash. He'll finish in top 10 at the Tour de France. And then I reckon that Pidcock wins Amstel Gold. In terms of the Tour de France, I can't second guess. I think he'll have a really good shot at taking yellow over the first couple of days. He'll be very, very close, and he might have the chance to take yellow for a day or two.
I'm going to start with Pidcock. Why not? Win Strade Bianche, Polkadot Jersey, and a stage win in the Tour. Geraint Thomas. I'd like Geraint Thomas, but yeah, we know he's very crash prone. So I'm going to say, let's say fifth. And then Egan Bernal, I'm going to say seventh overall at the Tour de France. We don't know. That's why we're doing this. But yeah, with that, that's basically it for our team preview. Make sure to check out our other ones we've done so far on the channel with Jumbo Visma and EF Education Easy Post. Plenty more to follow. And if you're new here, subscribe to the channel. Comment down below what you think of Ineos Grenadiers 2023 predictions. And as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.